Hello and welcome to another edition of Bacardi's Balls to the Wall podcast.
Bacardi!
The podcast that brings you the latest on soccer in Mzansi and beyond. I'm Bacardi editor John T. Mark, and I'm joined as usual by Sepo Nsoalengwe, soccer writer for The Citizen.
Itola, itola.
And Sibonga Seni Gumbi, soccer writer for The Citizen.
Yes, as long as you don't make me talk about Bafana Bafana and Sundowns, I'm happy, Jonty, to be here all the time.
Well, we won't talk about Bafana Bafana this week, although Hugo Broos did name a preliminary squad over the weekend. But we'll wait for the final squad on that one, which should be coming up sometime soon because there are friendlies early next month against Ivory Coast and Swaziland. Swaziland.
Eswatini, Jonty.
Eswatini. Sorry, Swaziland is at home. And Ivory Coast is away. Anyway, I'm talking about Bafana when I said I wouldn't, so let's move swiftly on from that before Sibonga Seni walks out. We are going to talk about Sundowns later in the podcast, so maybe Sibonga Seni will leave before then, who knows? He is a man of his own will. But we're going to start with Kaizer Chiefs because we have a Kaizer Chiefs victory to talk about Wednesday night at the Moses Mabhida Stadium in Durban. Kaizer Chiefs turned it around against Sekhukhune. They fell behind in first half stoppage time. But came back in the second half with goals from Edson Castillo and Edmilson Dove. I kept in my head this morning calling him Dove Wome. I don't know
everybody
why.
Do you remember Dove Wome?
Everyone does. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, okay, because Dove Wome came before him and was a good striker. Edmilson Dove is not a striker, but he popped up with a header, good header as well, to give Chiefs a 2-1 lead. Malefi and Turkey finally getting a win after some time. But I think some of the general consensus has been that Chiefs have been playing quite well. They just haven't been getting the results or the reward for their efforts. I know that against... And it helps if they don't fall behind 10 seconds into a game like they did against Sundowns in the MTN 8 or 60 seconds like they did against Supersport in the league. What did you make of Chiefs yesterday? Is it a sign that perhaps the results will start turning around now?
Yeah, that's the thing, John. With this case of Chiefs, you can't tell, because the next game they can lose 3-0. They can concede again in 10 seconds and go on to lose it because they've been hitting hot and cold. But hopefully they'll find their rhythm now. There seems to be newfound confidence in that team. What I like is that, especially in that center of the park and midfield, the arrival of Mtetwa has brought that needed competition. You can see that Yusuf Mat was like he got that jolt that he needed. He knows he needs to perform every game because now he has competition suddenly. He can be dropped at any time if he doesn't do well. So yeah, there's a newfound confidence. I believe. It's because the players also, they believe in Molefin Seki and they wouldn't want him to be, released. And the arrival of Calvin Johnson as well, has sort of indicated maybe to players that if this one does not do well, then we have another one waiting in the wings to take over. And the players seem to like Seki because, like I said earlier on in this podcast, that he's that father figure that every player wants to have in the team, He's that kind of coach that makes you relax, that makes you want to perform, at your best of abilities. He encourages you to do the things that you are good at, more of the good things that you know. So he's that guy, and I think the players are fighting for him now because they saw that two times now he's been a victim of those objects from fans. So they'd want to keep him. They'd want to fight for him. So, yeah, I think that is the turnaround they needed, and a good result against a very good team in Sekhukhune. So it should be a confidence booster going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time, Sepo, that a club has appointed a former head coach in a different position. And then a little while later, that guy is the new head coach of the club. But what do you think about that? Is Johnson genuinely just head of the academy or is he like sort of loitering with intent if Nseki slips up?
I think Barry's intent in case Pat Motseki, does slip up because, we have to be honest. You know, Kaizer Chiefs didn't really start the season well. It's been under a lot of pressure. You know, the fans are not happy with him. Even though, you know, he did get the result against Sekhukhune, but still, I still think that the fans still don't really have that faith in him, that he's someone that can, you know, deliver trophies for the club. Especially now with the fact that they even, you know, missed out on the MTN 8, you know. So, you know, there's still a lot of pressure, you know, in him. He still has to, you know, prove himself, because otherwise he knows that Kevin Joseph is on the sidelines once everything, you know, just falls apart. I think that's generally what's going to happen. Once he fumbles, Kevin Joseph is going to step up. I mean, like, come on, we all know that Kevin Johnson is the head coach, not the youth academy coach.
Yeah, I think that Chiefs made a mistake in taking Ziggy from being head of technical to this position. They should have just hired Kevin Johnson as head coach.
As the coach, yeah.
Because he has more experience. Mm. He's worked with Peter Al Ahly, he's worked at different clubs, and he wouldn't have had this pressure from fans, you know. And, you know, so now this move is too late and it comes at the wrong time, and it might even work on Seki's psyche, you know, badly, you know, knowing that there's someone waiting to take your position is never a good position to be in.
And Fonseca, I mean, like, we all know that he's someone who has dealt with, you know, young players before. So, you know, the position of him being a TD or a head of youth, you know, for Kaizer Chiefs was perfect for him. So now being a head coach, it's really tough.
Yeah, because the only way out of there is out now.
Yeah,
you cannot go back.
Just to play devil's advocate a bit here, Kevin Johnson also does have a history of working with younger players.
No, he does. Yeah,
he's credited widely with, you know, with Stephen Pienaar's development, and Stephen Pienaar even speaks about
Dolly
him
as well.
Very fondly, Dolly as well. So, yeah, he does have a record with younger players, so we can't just say he's there waiting to become head coach. He's presumably got the intent of doing well with Chiefs Academy, and Chiefs do have problems producing players from their academy that succeed at the top level. I mean, I know we've seen guys come through, but they never really seem to, you know, they never really seem to blossom, or so few of them seem to actually blossom into good careers in the
But it's been a long time. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll leave Chiefs there. What's next for you with regards to Chiefs, Mr. Gumbi?
Yeah, it's for them to try and keep this going. We know the next game is really tough. You know, they face Cape Town City, who always give them problems. They beat them twice last season. So, yeah, it's to see if they can keep the same momentum going, you know. They seem to have found it, you know, something. I said, don't want to maybe sound to be overpraising Tetra, but when he came on last night, he seemed to bring a different dimension, you know. He seemed to give Chiefs that confidence, especially the attacking players, that, okay, you can attack more now. There's someone that you can trust. I even heard some supporters saying they finally found a replacement for Katsande, someone who can stand there and allow the attacking players to express themselves, and then he will sweep up when they lose the ball. So, and you could see he's confident as well. When he came on, he started giving instructions. He played like he'd always been there, you know, like he was still at Stellenbosch, where he was deputy captain. He was just directing everyone, telling everyone where to go, and you know, commanding that area, which is something that we've always talked about in this podcast as well, that Chiefs lack that leader, because we said about Brendan Peterson that as much as he's a good keeper, but he lacks that leadership, you know, that confidence to tell players where to go. So now with Mteta doing that, maybe things will change for the better for Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, Chiefs paid a lot of money for Mteta, so you're not going to pay that much money if you don't expect to get good things out of it. And he's obviously, they've got another player in the Bafana preliminary squad since signing him, because he's there. So another Chiefs player for Hugo Broos, tongue-in-cheek there a bit. Talking of Stellenbosch, they were beaten 3-1 on Wednesday night by Mamelodi Sundowns, who have now broken a DStv Premiership record of going unbeaten. I think it's 32 matches where they haven't lost, and they've won all eight. Is it eight now or seven?
Eight
of their DStv Premiership games this season. 24 points, top of the table, running away with it already. They went behind in the pouring rain on Wednesday, but then they came swiftly back with two goals before half time and wrapped it up with a goal, talking of development products, from 16-year-old Siabonga Mabena. Very nicely sort of laid on a plate for him by Peter Shalolile. It's the experienced man laying it on for the youngster, and he It's fantastic for him, obviously, to come in. I think he's the youngest player ever to score for Sundowns in the DStv Premiership or in the PSL. So, yeah, amazing that. And Sundowns just show no signs of slowing down. I mean, you know, the commentator on last night's game was sort of talking about how Sundowns don't actually have a particularly good record of coming from behind to win matches. But that's because they so rarely fall behind in matches.
But I felt also, Jonty, that maybe like all of us, they also wish Stellenbosch could just win that game, because I also heard them talking about the rain and how Stellenbosch would have said, then scored when they saw the rain because it favors them and all of that. Because, you know, you feel that somebody has got to stop Sundowns at some point.
Well, I think you want a contest, don't you? And it's exactly. Not really a contest if Sundowns are just going on a procession. And I mean, they got a bit lucky with their equaliser, Sundowns kick on, and it looked like a cross to me flying into the net. You can't have meant that, or it's like a striker probably wouldn't mean that. It's a cross. But then obviously Modiba with a fantastic free kick, and I don't think there was ever in doubt. I mean, Stellenbosch did hit the bar in the second half, but it never really looked too much doubt that Sundowns were then going to walk away with another win. So yeah, I get it.
That's why I didn't want to talk about Sundowns, because
they just win.
They just win. Yeah,
it's very boring to talk about Sundowns.
Well, I mean, they've got
because
a game.
Because you just have to guess how many goals they're going to score.
Well, they've got a game on the weekend against Burumura of Burundi, but I mean, we don't really need to talk about that because they're 4-0 up from the first leg. I think Sundowns could field a team of Siabonga Mabenas of that age group and still go through to the group stages.
Yeah.
Maybe that's disrespecting the Burundian side, and if it insults anyone, I apologize. But Bumamura. There you are. I might have said it wrong first. Sorry about that.
You said Bimeminyama wrong for quite a while.
Bimeminyamana.
Yeah, Caleb.
Caleb.
He comes from the same countries.
And it's Jasond. We've shortened that Jasond Gonzalez's name forevermore. We will never be calling him his full first name because we'll just get lost.
Very difficult to pronounce.
Okay, right. Well, that Sundown's dealt with, I think. But Stellenbosch, just from their perspective, I mean, obviously Steve Barker, I heard him after the game saying, they've got a lot of injuries. Their depth isn't great. They've got some youngsters playing out there. I think obviously they're a selling club. I mean, you've got Junior Mendieta, who's at Sundowns. You've got Mtetwa, who we were just talking about, who's left the club. They haven't really replaced him.
And they sold that Jabba overseas. And that young defender.
The young defender who went to the MLS in America. Yeah. We've got a situation with Stellenbosch where, you know, I think they compete, but they, you know, they're not a club as privileged as Sundowns, whereby they can keep all their players and you know, they have to sell their best player. They end up selling their best players because they need to make the money. And they've done very well with that. But it's affecting clearly their performance. I mean, they did very well, I thought, to get a 1-0 win at Orlando Stadium last Sunday, but unfortunately it wasn't enough. Unfortunately for them, it wasn't enough to get them through. But yeah, what do you make of Stellenbosch, guys? Are they going to battle for the rest of the season, especially now that they've lost Mtetwa?
I don't think it's something that's going to happen for the rest of the season, because I think it's just a matter of, you know, Steve Barker trying to assemble this squad, because of, just like we said, they lost a lot of, you know, their players, and now they have injuries that they have to deal with. So if you look at even the way they lined up against Mamelodi Sundowns, you could see, you know, a lot of players were missing, and some of those players were starting to come into a team to get game time. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, trying to make things work for Steve Barker, because even that team that played against Sundowns, they're not really a bad team. They can compete. It's just a matter of them coming together and gelling.
Yeah, and I think also he'll be happy that in the last two games he hasn't got a red card, because he seemed to have a lack of discipline in his team, because I think he's missed also against Pirates and against Sundowns. He's missed Traore because he was red carded. I know his captain is injured. So those are two experienced players at the back there who make a difference when they are there. So he'll hope that the red cards will not come and those that are injured will come back. And I believe that he should also look at, adding some experience, especially in midfield. He needs someone that will come in and be a leader, because you need a leader like that. And in the current team with the captain out, there's no leader that's going to take responsibility. Mteto was a big loss for them, but they are capable of scouting. They have good scouts. They have good eye for talent. I'm sure they'll find someone that will fit in there. Hopefully, they'll not lose too many games before December and before the January window opens for them to, you know, to bring in a few experienced players. Because the good thing about the January window is that we'll also have AFCON, where we'll have a lot of players on display at the AFCON, and teams can go there and see who they can, you know, look at, especially from the smaller countries there.
Yep, that's coming up in January 2024, and Bafana will be there, which isn't always the case.
And we qualified this time.
We qualified. Talking of teams that are in the Champions League and one that does need a result or can't afford to field anything other than their strongest side tomorrow night at Orlando Stadium is Orlando Pirates. 1-0 down to Jwaneng Galaxy from the first leg on the back of 3 defeats in a row. Also losing to Sundowns in the league and to Stellenbosch, although they went through to the MTN 8 final where they'll play Sundowns. The post-match of that game, Jose Rivera didn't seem too concerned. He sort of said that, well, you know, yeah, we're playing well. Or he sort of said he's not really worried about the way his team's playing and that they'll, you know, they'll come back. And he thinks that they'll, you know, they'll focus now on beating Jwaneng. He says they want to take it game by game. He says they got to get used to, He says they got to get used to playing all these important games in a row, back to back to back. The goals, though, do seem to have dried up a bit for Pirates. And Les Pass obviously had that amazing start to the season, but it doesn't really seem like there's anyone, if he doesn't score, who's putting their hand up. So what do you make of it, Seppo? Are Pirates going to turn this one around? Is it going to be, are we all going to sort of go, okay, well, what were we worried about? Or is there a shock on the cards?
We have it in them to turn things around because we do have the players and we do have a very competitive squad. You know, looking at the first leg, I think we were just unfortunate during the first leg, you know, to lose, but to lose 1-0 like this joining. But, you know, coming to Orlando, where I know that, you know, we'll be looking to, you know, to go all out to make sure that we win. Because, I mean, playing in the CAF Champions League is very important for them. And I've seen and heard how, you know, Jose Rivera, you know, talks about, you know, doing very well in this competition. So we're going to go out there and make sure that we fold the strongest squad ever. You know, I think the likes of Lipas has to step up again. I mean, like, he's been the one who's been scoring goals. But guys like Manapuli Saleng as well, we have to step up and start scoring goals. Because now, if you're going to rely on Lipas, who's not going to score goals after 3 games, his confidence is going to go down. So, like, you need other players, you know, to pick up. The likes of Patrick Masongani as well, they have to pick up and start scoring goals.
Spo, do you see a shock in Orlando?
You know, Jonty, my concern is Jose Rivero tinkered with the team that was doing well. You know, they say if it's not broken, don't fix it. He tried to change it in that game against Galaxy in the first leg because I think he was saving players for Sundowns. And it come back to haunt him because it's the step, that rhythm that they had. They seem to not now find it. They just can't get it back. Maybe this game is the game that can get them back there because also September is not a good month for Soweto. But Chiefs have scored their first win as well. So maybe Pirates will do that as well because I don't know what's wrong. They just don't seem to have that energy anymore. That punch that they had with goals. So maybe this game will give them that because they really need to win this game. And not just 1-0, they need to win 3-0 and then prove that they are back in this competition because it would be a disaster if they were to be knocked out in this early stage.
Yeah, and I mean, whatever Rivera says, it has backfired, this decision to play a weakened team in Botswana because, you know, if you back that up with a win over Sundowns and maybe a more convincing progress into the MTN 8 final, then
it looks
fine. But because now it's going to look terrible if they get knocked out and you know, they've got a very proud record in in continental competition, winning the Champions League in 95, reaching the final in 2013, reaching the final of the Confederation Cup 2 years after that. So they pride themselves on good runs in Africa. So it will look a little bit disappointing for them. I mean, even Kaizer Chiefs, when they had that amazing, when they had that terrible season in domestically under Gavin Hunt, they reached the final of the Champions League. So, you know, there's a lot for Pirates to prove on the continent, and they will not want to go out in the very first hurdle or the second hurdle.
Exactly. I think we really, really need to win this game, especially given the fact that we've lost now 3 games in a row. So, you know, I know those players, right, where we are right now, their minds are just set on winning that game, making sure that, you know what, they're going to please their fans. Because one thing that I've loved about Pirates, especially when we're playing at home, you know, in the recent games, that fans have started to come, you know, in large numbers. So I know that Orlando Stadium is going to be filled tomorrow. I know supporters are going to come through to support them. So they're going to need to deliver.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully it's a packed stadium, because sides are always saying they travel in Africa and they play in front of these huge stadiums, and then they come here and there aren't any fans. So hopefully
but
there's 40,000 people in Orlando Stadium tomorrow night.
But my worry is they've made this game so important that it's a make or break for them, because it will either make their season or break their season, because if they lose it, they lose everything. They'll never recover from this, you know. So, and then you feel that they set themselves up for this, because you don't know why they did that, what they did in Botswana, and it's become a bad omen now that keeps rolling for them.
Well, we'll
so
see.
Yeah, now it's all, they all have it all to do in this game, and hopefully they can overcome it. And
it's on a knife edge, as they say. I mean, obviously, if Dwanning score, then Pirates have to score 3, which just puts them under a lot of pressure. But we'll see how that one goes. Okay, I think we'll wrap it up there. Please do like us on Facebook at Pacati with 3 A's. Follow us on Twitter at Pacati with 3 A's, and get your copy of Pacati Supplement when you buy the Citizen newspaper on a Tuesday. Thank you to Seppo and Mr. Gumby.
Thank you.
We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Cheers.